Okay, Kosmos. This is about, again, this different outlook on cosmology and the cosmos in general. I already touched it in the beginning of this book, but it's really important and central to what I want to say here, or what to what this book is about. So let me elaborate. Especially when looking at the cosmology of the Bhagavatam, and you can do it too, go through the second, third cantos to start with. Which are for the most part about the creation process. The Sarga and the Visarga. We've already seen over and over again, both in the Bhagavatam and in other cosmologies, a consciousness centered view where the development and the very structure of the cosmos is about the consciousness of the living beings. But there are also stories and descriptions about God, the highest real world, a beautiful, what beauty is there, and the happiness and the flowers and the trees and the rivers. In a rather poetic way. So it's evidently a rather different approach to cosmology. And the modern Western one. Which would have produced a cosmology book about stars and galaxies and black holes and dark matter and solar systems and all of that. In other words, I mean, what's the difference in essence here? That's the important thing to see. And it's not about the right or wrong one. It's about different ways of looking at it. If you want to describe a world, an existence, what's the most important about it? About your world? I think it's life going on. So these authors, writers, teachers behind those, these scriptures, these texts, ancient texts, were obviously less interested in the physical forms of the world. The things, but in life and how we, all of us, who are part of that life, can harmonize. By understanding how we're all part of a whole. That is happy, harmonious, and life itself. Well, life being lived fully, happily, truly, and completely, not lacking awareness of important parts of it all. Again, I say the reason for the preoccupation or modern focus on physical objects in physical space, whether they be atoms or galaxies, clusters, is the result of prioritizing matter in other words influenced by the modern philosophy of materialism. Now, someone may say, well, we're making a planetarium. This specific project is about that space and planets and all stars and all of that, because Prabhupada wanted to show how the Bhagavatam contains real and even superior science. Now, Prabhupada was not a physicist and or knowledgeable very much, at least about physics. Did I say that? Maybe Western philosophy. And frankly speaking, I don't think he cared much about it. It's because he considered it rather useless. And speculative, which I think it's appropriate. He wanted to establish the cosmology of the Bhagavatam, the science of the Bhagavatam, as superior to modern materialistic science. And when he found something that could possibly be used for that, he went for it. Now, of course, in the Bhagavatam there, another shastra there, descriptions of planets and the cosmos and all that. So he said, you know, make a planetarium and show that version. But he also said, you figure it out. He didn't claim to have figured it all out. Because he was teaching on a completely different level. Now, had he really started to dig into it, modern science, he may also have found, especially today, that no matter what, consciousness, soul, God, keeps popping up, even in physics and philosophy today, such as in quantum physics. Not only with quite a few connections to the Puranic version, but so much that the version of the Bhagavatam, if understood and explained, presented right, takes off where modern science has halted and stuck. I'm not sure Prabhupada was informed by this, by his scientific disciples, or if he even wanted to get involved on that level. And again, in this instance, he gave quite some freedom to his disciples to figure it out. So this is what I'm trying to do and what should be done. Now, if we can use the entire Bhagavatam, not just by squeezing out a couple of words here and there that somehow give astronomical references, although completely at odds with modern ones. But the entire Bhagavatam cosmology, and use it to establish a worldview that can be accepted even by physicists, scientists today. We should remember that the founders of quantum physics turned to Vedic teachings for that exact reason. They found something there, something deep and advanced. And we should remember these men were very intelligent. And schooled in rigid, strict scientific disciplines. They were not so new age hippies looking for some good vibes. So these are not my speculations, but actual historical facts.